Amen. We're going to look at two passages of Scripture tonight. Turn to Deuteronomy. Now, Deuteronomy is the fifth book in what's called the Book of the Law, or Moses' books. And I want us to look at chapter number 6. We're only going to take a couple of verses out of this, and our main text is going to be in the second verse we're going to look at. But it starts off in chapter number 6 with what's called the Shema. And the Jewish people say this. As a matter of fact, Orthodox Jewish usually say this in the morning and say this at nighttime. And this is something I just learned. You know that little thing? I don't know if you've ever visited a Jewish home, but you know on the door as you go in, there's a little thing. It looks like a little tiny little scroll, and they usually go in and they just, you know, kind of touch it and everything. That is actually, they were used to saying this particular verse that we're going to look at, but they've cut it down now. Now they don't have to say it. They just go by and then touch that little thing, and that's like having a little prayer wheel, because that's what that represents. But this is what happens in verse number 4. It says, "Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and thou shalt be as frontlets before thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." And we can see here what, as Moses is presenting this to the children of Israel, and he's doing it through the Holy Spirit guiding him, the importance of God's Word. How important was it? Well, the very first part here, he says, we're supposed to love God. How? With all of our heart. How else? And with our soul and with all of our might. So that would give an indication we're supposed to love God with every part of us, every being with us. And then he goes on to talk about the words, in other words, God's words, which I command thee this day shall be in your where? Heart. Okay? Was it David who said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee"? And we need to have God's word in our heart. Okay, we'll have it in the heart. It says we're going to teach them. They were instructed to teach them to the children. Why would they teach them to the children? Why would that be important? Now, if I don't get some feedback from you folks tonight, it's going to be a long one. Okay? Okay. Yeah, right. You don't get it, you know, by osmosis. There's teaching, there's learning. And if we don't teach it to the next generation, how are they going to know? They're not. And that's one of the reasons why we have a problem today, is because the next generation hasn't been taught. It's amazing. Just in the history of our nation, it's not being taught anymore. Matter of fact, I don't think half of our legislation body knows what's in our Constitution anymore, because it's not taught. Okay? Well, it's the same thing about the things of God. If we don't pass it on to the next generation, then the next generation won't have it. And apparently they didn't do a very good job of that, because it wasn't long before the children of Israel had wandered off and they were worshiping false gods again. So, but this is what he admonishes them to do. Notice also it says, you're going to talk about them while you're sitting in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. So that tells me that God wanted the children of Israel to know about His Word in every aspect of their life. It shouldn't be just one day a week. It wasn't just the Sabbath. It was every day. When they got up in the morning, it's the Word of God. And all during the day, they would talk about it when they were there. When they were walking by the wayside, they were talking about God's Word. When they laid down at nighttime, they were talking about God's Word. And then notice also what it says here, thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and thou shalt be as frontlets between thine eyes. Now, frontlets is the idea of horses. They would put blinders before them so that they could not see, you know, they'd have to stay focused on where they were going. And that's the idea of this, that God's word would be like frontlets in our eyes, that the focus would be on God's word. That's where the focus would be. Now the focus is all sorts of everything else except for God's word. But frontlets before thy eyes. And then when I was teaching classes, I showed that this is another one. It says, thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. So that says they can write on the walls in the house. You know, kids can make the mark, you know, as long as it's God's word, that's okay. Okay? And he says, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house. Well, as you go on, and he gives some more instructions, and we're getting to the main verse that we want, goes all the way down, and he says the reason for for what he's done, what he's showing them, is so that they could prosper in the land. And in verse number 23, it says, and he brought us out from thence, in other words, out of Egypt, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. In other words, God does things on purpose, not by accident. There's a reason for everything. And so he took them out of the land of Egypt so that he could get them separated, so he could bring them in to the blessings that he wanted them to be in. And so we're going to talk about the bringing in. And we're actually going to be talking about being in the body of Christ. So turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians. And we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse number 13. It says, starting with verse number 12, it says, for as the body is one and have many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. And where we're talking about the unity of the body of Christ. Okay? And if we back up to the very beginning of chapter number 12, now remember, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. What do we know about the church in Corinth? What? They had issues. I mean, they had some big issues. Okay? And the very first part of Corinthians, you know, he begins to list some of the issues that they had. They had issues with the Lord's Supper. They had issues with the fornication in the church. They had issues. I mean, just one right after another. They had issues, and they needed to be taken up. Well, another issue that they had was everybody was kind of jealous of what they did in the church. And so, in chapter number 12, he says this: now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give to you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There is differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. And we won't go into all of this, but he's basically saying, okay, you know, there's still diversities in the church. Everybody was, you know, there was a lot of contentions in the church. And he says, you know, you were carried away when you were in the Gentiles, when you were unsaved. He says you were carried away to these things, and that shouldn't be the case now. He says, you know, we've been taken out of the world as such, the likeness of Egypt, the bondage of sin, He brought us out so that he could bring us in to a body that has unity. Now, there's a lot talking about unity. What does it mean? What do we mean by unity? And what do we mean by unity in the church? And that is, you know, that there isn't any schisms. There isn't any divisions. I've been in a couple of churches where there were divisions. We were in a church one time, and I tell you, there was one group that sat on this side, and there was another group that always sat on this side, and this side over here would give dirty looks to the ones over on this side, and this side over here would give dirty looks to the ones on that side, and they just couldn't get along at all. They were always fighting. The very first church that I pastored was that way. Now, we only had maybe 25 people in the church. It wasn't a very big church. It was a very, very small church. And we were meeting in the Latin American Assembly of God Church. Okay? Now, we didn't go with their services. We were just using their building. And they would have services in the early morning, and when they were finished, they were actually finished right around 10:30, and we took over at 11 o'clock, and we would have our services there. And so the building wasn't ours. But there were some things that we had to take care of. And we would get in a business meeting, and 25 people. That's the max we would have on Sunday. So you know that when we'd have a business meeting, there'd probably be only 15 or 20 people there. And those business meetings would last sometimes up to 2 hours. Because the people just wanted to fight and bicker over everything. One time we were in a meeting and they were complaining. We had some lights in the back hallway that needed to be replaced. And they were fighting over whether or not we put in a 25-watt bulb or a 40-watt bulb. I mean, they complained about everything. One time we came in and the offering was a little bit low. They fought over whether or not they were going to pay the pastor a salary that Sunday. My salary was only $25. But they fought over that, whether or not they were going to pay that. And then one time we had a, and I think I mentioned this, we had a 35 passenger bus that we picked up some Sunday school kids on. We had actually a bus fund. And in the bus fund we had $300. Now let me ask you a question. If you've got a bus fund and there's money in the bus fund, what do you do with that money? You use it on the bus, right? Well, the bus radiator sprung a leak, and it was going to cost $30 or $35 to fix it. Now, this was back in the 70s. So you say, well, that's not very much money. Well, back in the 70s, $35 was worth a little bit more than what it is now. They got together, and we got to have a meeting. Okay, we got a meeting. Well, we're going to do the bus. No, we can't fix the bus. And I said, there's no problem. We got $300 in the bus fund. Let's take it out of the bus fund and fix the radiator. No, we can't do that. We're not going to do that. The gentleman who was driving the bus was also the deacon of the church, and his wife was the treasurer of the church. And he got up and he said, we're not going to take that money out of the bus fund, and if we do, I'm not going to drive that bus. That was my point. And if you got a bus fund with $300 in it, why didn't you take $30 out of it and fix the radiator? You know, and I being a young pastor, I didn't know really how to handle that. I just said, well, if you don't drive it, I will, you know. And we drove the bus. The straw that broke the camel's back. And at the time, like I said, I was young. I was still in Bible college. I had one last year going. It was a year that our daughter was born, so we had a new baby. I was driving every day from Corona to, it was called Rainbow Ridge in Corona. I was driving to Corona to Pasadena every day. Plus, when I would get home from school, I went in the opposite direction. I went into Pomona. Because the church was so small, they could only pay me $25 a week, and you can't live on $25 a week, especially if you got a little baby in the house. And so I was still working as a grocery clerk at Alpha Beta Markets and pastoring this little church. So I was strung out, quite a bit there. And, couldn't get those people. I could not get them out to visitation for anything. They would not come out. They would not come out. And, we did have folks saved, but it was mostly my efforts, you know, going out, I'd take Saturday out, my Saturday would be off, and I would go out Saturday, and I'd knock doors and try to win some folks to the Lord, and we had some folks saved, and we had some of them baptized, but we didn't have a whole lot, and their excuse, again, in another business meeting, their excuse was, well, we don't have our own building. What difference does that make? The church is not the building, the church is the people. I knew that then. But they said, that's why we're not doing anything. I found a church for sale in the middle of Corona, in the older part. Okay? There was a church that was there, and this church would seat, it was about the auditorium, about this size, and it was all padded pews. They had, the piano came with it, the organ came with it, it had a baptistry that was working. They had two offices in the back with chairs and desks, filing cabinets. They even had a nursery that had, have you ever seen it where they have little cages for the kids, you know? You know, you put them in there and the cage rolls down and locks, you know, where they can't get out. They had that. All we had to do was bring our hymn books and our Gestetner copier. That's all we had to do to move into that building. And I was excited. I really was, because they were going to let us have that building for $2,000 down and $200 a month, and they were going to carry the mortgage for us. We did not have to go to a bank to get the money. I even had the $2,000 myself. The only time I ever had $2,000 in the bank, but at that time I did. And so I was excited. I got them together. We loaded them on the bus because we did fix the bus. And we loaded them on the bus, and I took them in there, and we went through the building, and I showed them all those buildings. I said, hey, we're ready to go. All we got to do is give them a check for $2,000. It's already sitting empty right in a residential section of town. And I said, this is going to be awesome. And so we had a business meeting, and for an hour they discussed buying that building. And you know what they did? Well, it's not in a very good place in the town. We just don't think we can really do that. And they turned it down. It was disgusting. Just fight, 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 bicker, bicker, bicker. They certainly weren't following what's in the scriptures here. Certainly wasn't done that. And so there are churches like that, and there's still churches like that today. They follow their flesh. And Paul is trying to talk to them about keeping the body together. And what he talks about here, now, all of that doesn't really have to do with what this has today. I just wanted to give you an idea what goes on sometimes. He says, now there's diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. God has given you and given me gifts to be used for Him. What are those gifts? What do you think some of those gifts are? What do you think they are? Do we have some singers? Is that a gift, to be able to sing? Definitely, that's a gift. I've heard some people that did not have that gift, but you know, most people have the gift of singing. Are there people that has a gift of building things? Yeah. There's some that have a gift of compassion, having compassion and love for people. Various gifts. And he says there's diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. Okay? So there shouldn't be any fighting. God puts together the body with the things that are necessary for the body to grow. Okay? He says there's a diversity or there's difference of administrations. Is every church run exactly the same way? Okay, Brother Tim, you go to a lot of churches, a lot of Baptist churches. Are they all run exactly the same way? No, they're not. Every church is different. Some churches receive an offering. Some churches take an offering. Some churches go through a specific thing every Sunday exactly the same. Some churches don't. Some churches have you stand up while you sing. Some don't. Some have you stand up while you're reading the Word of God. Some don't. Every church is a little bit different. If you left Faith Baptist Tabernacle and went to another church, you would be hard-pressed to find another church exactly like this church. And matter of fact, this is something that's interesting. If you were to leave this church and go away for, let's say, 5 years and then come back, it wouldn't be the same church that you left. It'd be different. Okay? Because God puts together the people with talents and abilities different from anybody else. And they vary. Now, for instance, now this one isn't in the book, but I look at it, you know, as a gift. Brother Brad, he has a gift. I know one of the gifts that he has, he can turn junk into valuable stuff. I can't do that. When I see junk, I see junk. I can go out to a yard sale and I can't find anything I want to buy. He goes out and he finds all sorts of stuff he buys, and in some of it's really good stuff. That's a gift he has. He's able to see things like that. I don't have that gift. Okay? There's others that, you know, they have a gift of teaching little kids. It takes a special gift to teach little kids. Some have it and some don't. We had some teachers at Victory Christian School. They had the knowledge and they could do the studies, but they weren't teachers. They did not have a gift of teaching. It's just, you know. And so he says administration, different, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one he giveth by the Spirit the word of wisdom. There are some that have great wisdom. Okay? To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Where would I find the healers? Where would I find the healers? Are doctors healers? Nurses healers? They just have a gift to be able to take care of people and know what's wrong with them and help them. Right? That's a gift. To another, the working of miracles, and another, prophecies, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, diverse kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. By all these worketh that one, and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man several as he will. Now, on the tongues things, when it's talking about the tongues here, it's not talking about a bunch of gibberish. It's talking about a language. Are there some people that have a gift of languages? There are some that can learn language just like that, and they have no problems with it. When I was in school, I took Spanish. I came home with an A in Spanish and a D in English. I got into trouble. My dad said I would never do that again. So I had to bring the A down. So I learned a little bit of Spanish. I still know a little bit of Spanish, very little bit of Spanish. But there are some people, now you look at our missionaries, most of our missionaries, God has given them a gift of tongues because they go to a foreign land and they learn the language. And they're able to converse in that language with the people, amen? Something that we can't do. And there's people that can learn more than one language. How many of you know more than one language? Anybody? Okay, I know Linda does. She knows more than one language. Anybody else know more than one language? No? Okay, yeah. Well, you see, some people have that gift, some people don't. And so he says the different ones, and it's given for the ways to profit. Okay? Paul goes on in this, and in the spiritual gifts, and he talks about some other things here. He talks about, verse number 12, it says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." Now, when he's talking about the body of Christ, he's talking about the local church. Okay? He's not talking about a massive universal church worldwide because it's an anomaly. It doesn't work. The word church is a called out assembly to meet together. And worldwide, we can't meet together, but we can meet individually. So that's why we believe in the local church, a local body. And he likens it to our human body. Now think about our body. What a wonderful, wonderful thing we have. Okay, you ever consider what the body is like? What you have? Have you ever sat down and just contemplated your hand? Take a look at your, everybody get your hand up there. Take a look at it. Okay, move your fingers. Move your thumb. Okay. Do you realize how complicated that is? Okay. And if we were to cut off one of these fingers, it would hurt the body. Now, you could still do things, but, you know, you would be limited. For instance, if you were to cut off your little finger, now that's not a very big piece out of the body. That's just a little finger. We really don't need that one. Let's just cut it off. But do you realize that if you cut that little finger off, that you lose about 50% of your gripping power? Try it sometime. Try to hold on to something with just the three fingers and the thumb and see how strong you can hold on to it. You can't hold on to it very, very strong. As a matter of fact, a lot of times when I was teaching kids, I would get them to do that. I would come up and hand them a book, and I says, okay, hold on to this with your entire hand, and then I would try to take it away from them. And it was pretty difficult to take it away from them. Then I says, okay, now try to hold on to it with your three fingers and your thumb. And hold on to it as hard as you can with your three fingers and your thumb. And I'd go by and just rip it out, just like that. Your thumb. Take a look at your thumb. It's called an opposing thumb. By the way, we're the only one of God's creatures that has that. Think about the thumb. You say, well, I don't need the thumb. It's not good for anything except for hitching a ride. Okay. But in the Bible, in biblical days, they would go in and when they would conquer a king, they would cut off his thumbs and his toe, and his big toe. Why in the world would they do that? Well, did you know that if you, back in those days, if you didn't have a thumb, you couldn't hold on to a sword very well. You couldn't defend yourself. The thumb, again, is very important. So you got a little finger and a little thumb. If you get rid of them, you're hurting. Your body, your whole body is hurting. Not to mention the pain that's involved in cutting those things off. Same thing with the toe. You cut off the toe. By the way, the little toe on your foot, you know what it's there for? Kick chair. Yeah, to kick chair in the middle of the night when you can't see and you're on your way to the bathroom. The little toe is there to let you know that there's a wall or there's a piece of something down on the floor or a toy or something like that because you always invariably kick that one. Every part of the body is important. Every part of your body is important because God created it and He put it together so that it's one body with many parts that work together. And He goes on and He says that. He says, eyes say I have no need of the ears? Or did the ears say I have no need of the eyes? Or the tongue, I have no need of that? No, it cannot do that. The body functions properly when all the parts are working. That's why, you know, when some of the body parts stop working, we got to go to the doctor. We got to go to somebody that's got the gift of healing that can find out what's wrong with us and see if there's a way to heal that part of the body so that it will function properly. Every part of the body is important. Okay? Well, it's the same way with the local church. Every one of you is important. And the gifts that He has given you is important for this body to function properly. And if you're not using the gifts that God has given you, you're affecting the body. Because you're not using the part that God has you there for. Now there's some, like I said, there's various parts. When we were up in Palmdale, there was a lady in Palmdale, a member of the church, and her name was Mrs. Apple. And Mrs. Apple was very elderly, and she was a very, very poor health. As a matter of fact, she couldn't get out to our service. The whole time we were up there, 3.5 years we were there, she was never able to come to church. Okay? Because she couldn't get out. She couldn't physically get out. And would people say, well, she didn't amount to anything. No, she was part of that body. And you know, she had a very intricate part of that body. You know what Mrs. Apple did? Well, for one thing, every month when I would go over there, she would have me write her bills. And the very first check I would write, she says, to make sure that you write my tithe. She didn't make very much money. She was one of those, the mite, you know, very little. But that was the first thing that always went out. She paid her tithes and offerings. And then I found out what she did. She couldn't do anything else in the church, but she would go down and she would pray. She would pray for her pastor. She would pray for the church. She would pray for every member in that church. And then she'd go one step beyond that. Sometimes she would get the telephone book out. You remember what a telephone book is? Some of you don't know what a, you know, Antonio, you probably don't know what a telephone book is. But it used to be a book that had everybody's telephone and address in it. And you can find out where people lived, what their telephone was, and what their address was in that telephone book. She would take the telephone book of Palmdale, and she would start at the A's, and she would go down, and she would pray for everyone in that telephone book. Now let me ask you, was her part of the body functioning? Yes. She was a very big part of our congregation, even though she never was able to come to a service. And the point is that everyone is important in this church. Everyone. And everyone has the talents that God has given us. Some only have one. Some people have two or three. But we all have abilities and talents and gifts that God has given us, and He expects us to use them for His glory. And we're all important. I have here down the practicality of this. Is everyone in the mouth? No, there's some that can preach, some that can teach, some that can testify. Is everybody a hand? No, but there are some that can do things, build things, create things. Is everybody a shoulder? No, but there are some that can bear burdens. Bear you one another's burdens. Is everybody a foot? No, but there are some that can go out and they can go and they can have foots. Is everybody a nose? No, not everybody's a nose, but there are some that can smell out heresy and they have the gift of separating truth from error. Is everybody a knee? Not everybody's a knee, but there are some that have a knee that spend the time ministering in prayer and so on and so forth. We all have our distinct gifts and abilities, and God expects us to use them. Here he goes on and he says that the body is not one member but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, am I not the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would the smelling? But now hath God set in the members, every one of them, in the body, as He hath pleased Him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, but yet one body. And so, my encouragement for us is to seek out the gifts that God has given you. Find out what they are. Okay? Find out what you're good at. And then if you're good at something, use it for the glory of God. Okay? Use it for the glory of God. And be part of the body of Christ here at Faith Baptist Tabernacle or wherever you are, for those that may be watching. Make it a part. Be a part and use the abilities that God has given you for His glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You once again for the goodness that You've given us. We do pray, Heavenly Father, that our pastor will be allowed to come home. They'll find out what the problem is and give him the health. Heavenly Father, we just pray that each and every one of us will take the gifts that You've given us and the talents and abilities that You have given us, and use it to the best of our ability to glorify Your name and to edify, build up the body.